Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's another episode of Sports Elite. I'm Tay, and I know y'all not used to hearing me this early, but it's a new day in town. I'm on a new channel, Radio AFS, on blogtalk.com, and I'm very happy to be here. And guess what? We got a new time. We on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 4 p.m. Pacific Time, and we got more time, y'all. Y'all asked for it. We finally got it. We that's not on for an hour. Be on for a max of 2 hours if you like. So, hey, let's just get the party started. Today we have two guys who are no strangers to this show. We got Nether Cook. He's coming on. He's a guy who's really into racing. But guess what? He's not one-dimensional. He can talk all different types of sports. And he's a fellow Cowboy fan like myself. Also, we got a guy who listens to every show I've had on Sports Elite, you know, from day one. And his name is Dame Hooper. He's coming on the show tonight. He's just not calling in. He's actually going to be on the show tonight, and he's going to debate against Nesta, okay? And we're going to have a great time tonight. And we got some other questions that's lined up. So we just, you know, we're going to get the debate out the way, and we're just going to have a good time tonight, all right? So special shout-out to Jacob. Jacob, thank you so much for signing us to this deal. I appreciate you. And also, to everyone who told me no, didn't think I could do it, here's to you. I'm doing my thing. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and bring on the guys, all right?
Hey,
Dame, you there?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, hey, what's up,
going
everybody?
On, man?
What's up? What's up, everyone?
Hey, I'm glad you're here, my brother.
Thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, thank you for having me on the show, man. I've been looking to debate. It's an honor.
All right. Let me get my other Mr. Cook on the line. You there, man?
What's up? I'm here.
All right, what's up? All right, y'all.
Well, you done did it, Tay. You done did it. You got me back on here again. I'm ready.
That's right. I had to have you on here. Y'all two are funny to me. But let me go ahead and let y'all out there know. Y'all can go ahead and y'all can call in. Start lighting up the lines right now. The new number to call in is 646-668-8467. Again, that's 646-668-8467. Go ahead and call in. Start lighting up the lines now. And then I'll get to your questions. You can ask the debaters questions and comments and all that good stuff. All right? So, guys, let's go ahead and get into the debate right now, all right? So the question is here. Who is the most underrated NBA player of all time? All right? So y'all can just go ahead and start. Either one of y'all. I don't care.
Scottie Pippen. You want to go first, man?
Scottie Pippen. Hands down. Scottie Pippen. Best defensive player I ever seen in my life. Had the sweetest 15 and 20-foot bank shot that always went in. Never gets the credit. He's always setting Jordan up for those dunks and everything. Had the most assists I've ever seen in my life. And he has 6 rings. Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. What's the rebuttal?
For myself, I got to say Clyde Drexler. He was a great shooting guard. I mean, he played soft forward sometimes, but he was a great shooting guard. He never really got the credit he deserved either. He played in the era with Jordan, Barkley, Malone, and those guys. He never really got as much credit as he should. I mean, people talk about Westbrook doing triple doubles. This guy was like close to averaging triple doubles every year, and he pushed Houston over the hump the second year. You know, this guy was like a great player for Portland. I don't think he ever got the hype he deserved.
Well, my pick was my favorite player of all time. You know, somebody already got him, Scottie Pippen. The only reason I went with Scottie is because, you know, yeah, he wasn't Jordan, but, you know, when Jordan retired to go play baseball, he did lead, you know, that Bulls team. They didn't go to the finals. You know, they got knocked out, and they was at home watching, you know, the Rockets win back-to-back. But you can't deny it, the defense, the offense. He made that bank shot almost classic. You know, Duncan wasn't the first one to do it. You know, that he made a living off that. He could do free throws. He guarded the team's best player. You thought Jordan was could play defense. No, you had Scottie. And Scottie wasn't a bigger frame guy. You know, he's not like a LeBron-built type guy, but he was mentally tough. He wasn't afraid to get up in there, you know, like, you know, against your likes, like Charles Oakley banging with them when, you know, Knicks and Bulls years. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You got to give me a little bit more about this prior dresser.
Especially from when he was playing against Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller used to get underneath people's skin. And Scotty was the one who was sitting right there butting heads with Reggie Miller 24/7. Not to mention, I'll put it to you like this. If it wasn't for Scottie Pippen, Jordan wouldn't have been the man he was. I'm going to say it.
Ooh.
Straight up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's how strong Scottie is. And you know, Jordan was a face, but Scottie was a neck and a body, making Jordan who he was, plain and simple.
Wow.
Because when Scottie was hurt during the season, the Bulls lost. Look it up. Every time that Joker was hurt off of an ankle or a knee or whatever, that guy was hurt, and the Bulls will lose, plain and simple. He would just lose.
Mm. That's very interesting.
Mm. I mean, so you mean to tell me that if Pippen went on the squad, if Pippen went on
Bulls
the squad,
got six.
They wouldn't have got six.
No. No, maybe one or two. Not six, and it wouldn't have been back-to-back. It would have been a real struggle for them, a real struggle, because the Knicks had the Bulls' number as far as beating them. Scottie was the difference. Scottie played the defense that everybody needed. Horace Grant was good, but Scottie bumped up Horace Grant. You see the same thing he did with Dennis Rodman. He made them play better defense. And even Jordan had to play better defense when Scottie was on the floor. He made everybody play better, plain and simple. Jordan was the face. Everybody loved Jordan. Everybody wanted to be like Mike because Jordan would do all the flair and everything. He was the flair of the team. When it came down to just the hard work and the sweat and the sweat and tears, that's Scottie all day. Can't convince me any other way.
That's wow.
I know it's controversial. People don't like to hear it, but it's the truth.
That's something you actually had to that's actually something you could think about, though, because, you know, Scott, I do agree. Scott was very underrated for his defense. Like you were saying, people forget he wasn't sticking some scrubs. He was sticking the best offensive guys on other teams. So that's something you can think about differently.
He won defensive man back to back to back to back to back. It was consistent with him. People forget about that.
I give you that. That's. No, I didn't forget about that. That's definitely true. He was always first team all defensive player. You know, he was the, I give you that. But the thing I got to challenge you on here is that you say he made Dennis Rodman play better defense. Come on. Dennis Rodman was playing defense at a high level like that when he was with the Pistons. Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
I would agree with you. But if you watch the games when Rodman was on there, you could tell when Rodman was getting kind of tired, especially during the finals. You see Pippen talk to Rodman. And next thing you know, you see Rodman with a burst of energy out of nowhere. I pay attention to little stuff like that. Very minute
that's
details
like, me,
like that.
That's just like me giving
it's
me,
like,
me saying
it's like how
so
Tom Brady
boosted
up his team.
I mean, that's how, you know, giving your players confidence. That's a pep talk, man. You know, yeah, you can give a pep talk. That's like me. I can give you a pep talk and say, hey, you know, get you hyped, say, nah, Pippen was trash. And then you might get hyped and, you know, start telling me not how Pippen that trash. You know, that's just, you know, that's called pushing the triggers, man. You know, knowing your personnel, getting them dead. You know, the same thing that he had to tell to Rodman, he can't tell it to Steve Kerr to get him hyped, you know. It's all about
that's
your personnel.
Very true. Very true. But, you know, at the same time, though, how often do we really see Jordan getting the folks up like that, though? It wasn't him.
People want to put it on Jordan. It was not Jordan. Jordan did what he did, but honestly, he fed off of Pippen. That was the true team leader. If you watch those old films and watch Pippen, look at Pippen. Pay attention. The camera was usually on Pippen and Jordan 24/7, and you would see it.
So you mean to
tell
me?
And if there's another team,
it's all about Pippen.
Hey, I said it. For those who don't like what I'm saying, my show's on Friday night at 8:30. Call me up on my show. Debate me there.
Oh, man.
I ain't running.
Hey, I ain't running.
Come get me.
Hey. that's a different thing because, I feel you. I do say he was an instrumental part of that team. It was a 1-2 punch type of thing. But he just couldn't get over the hump, and that was just telling me that he needed Jordan. He needed MJ on that team because if he didn't, I mean, even when he left the Bulls, when he got traded to Houston, they couldn't do it. When he went to Portland, they just couldn't get past Sacramento and the Lakers. You know, he just couldn't do it. He never won another ring without 23. He needed that main guy. He couldn't be that one guy. Each time he was the man, he couldn't win it. Jordan, he left. He left. So we wouldn't, you know, he was on sorry Wizards teams and washed up. Let's be real. Jordan was washed up when he was with the Wizards. Sorry.
Yes.
You know, he wasn't that same elite guy. You know, he wasn't that same elite guy.
I think 2 years of baseball did that to him. All that traveling. You know, he wasn't used to it.
I agree with that. That's too. And that was minor league, man. You know, so
yeah.
I always said that too. I agree. Also, when you think about it, look at the intangibles on that team that you're talking about. I know we got a little bit off our debate topic, but, you know, let's look at Phil Jackson with that, you know, with them teams. Phil Jackson and then the supporting cast. Each three-peat, really, honestly, if you think about it, had a different supporting cast.
Oh, yeah. Y'all definitely did. The first couple years,
you know,
it was
Hodges,
Paxson. The last few was Kerr, Kuko, and a couple other guys.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Well, you know, with Jackson, he always had that one guy who was able to fire up the team really well, though. You know, on top of understanding his style of play, you know. At first, for the first 3 years, you got to give it to Shaq. Kind of gluing that team together. With Kobe with the extreme talent as a young man, and I would say that he taught Kobe. And then after that, Kobe became that heart and glue. That's how they got their 6 rings, you know, or their 5 rings. So, you know, you can attribute all that to those guys there, you know. But when it came to the Bulls, gotta give it to Scotty. I won't bend on that. You gotta give it to Scotty. As far as, you know, I mean, being underrated in the heart of that team. Yeah, and it's a shame that he does not get that recognition. You know, to this day. You know? And Michael has given it to him. That's the crazy thing. Jordan gave him that credit. People won't believe him. So that's a shame.
Come on, man.
Hey.
No.
Like I said,
my
show's on 8:30 Saturday night. I ain't running and hiding.
I do too. Let's go back. I want to hear why you picked Clyde Drexler as the most underrated.
Yeah, definitely. A few points. You know, everybody talks about, you know, Russell Westbrook, LeBron, and even before them, Jason Kidd's a triple-double. She's a triple-double guy. And, like, this guy was averaging close to triple-doubles, you know, almost every season. You know, Drexler, he took some average Portland teams to some, you know, number one seeds, a couple finals. In Houston, I know they won in 94, but 95 – they got over the hump with Drexler. You know, the guy was just a great all-around player. You know, he's a pretty good defensive player, phenomenal offensive player. Now, we played in an era, you know, with Jordan, Barkley, a few other guys. I mean, Shaq. So he didn't get the recognition he deserved because I feel like he played with so many star players. That's just my opinion.
Well, the best move that he could have did, you know, what I think is that he left Portland. You know,
oh, yeah,
Portland just wasn't given. Somebody got some background, and I can't barely hear. The best move was when he left Portland. He went to Houston, and I think that was the best team that he was on because he was one of those links that I believe on that team to go with Olajuwon, Ellie, Thorpe, Ori. I could go on and on about the rest of those guys that was on that team. But he was that piece, that athletic piece, that piece that wasn't scared to go to the hole and get the and one. You know, because back then, you know, as you said, it was a tougher NBA back then. You could actually play ball back then, like street ball, basically. Now, today's NBA, if I breathe on you too hard, that's a flagrant one, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Well, and that's a totally different era of ball, which is, you know, I tell folks, you know, especially when they try to, I know it's kind of off topic, but when they try to compare the good players of today versus the ones of that era, I said, you can't compare. It's just they were getting beat up on the court, literally. Literally.
Like,
you can see some of the fouls they did on Jordan or you know, or on anybody. Larry, they threw him into the ground, onto the court. Who does that? That's not called a flagrant. No, it's still fouled you too. That's it. Get up. Shake it off. Play harder. You know what I mean? I don't know who could have survived this generation and that type of play right there. They'd have been crying.
People forget how bad Jordan was getting beat up, you know, during the Bad Boys Pistons era. People forget that very quickly or don't really know that because, you know, they probably weren't running that era or so. But they were getting, you know, they were getting destroyed. You know, I don't think like a LeBron or maybe Westbrook, but, you know, I don't think these other guys would, you know, be tough enough to be able to take those hits constantly that, you know, some of the guys in the 80s were taking.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what Larry Bird went through with the Celtics versus the Pistons, you know, and still, you know, we have all these greats that came out of that class. Do you really see too many Hall of Famers coming out of this class here? No.
I don't see it. Maybe two.
You know, it's a different style of play, and Scottie Pippen was a part of it. I admire Clyde Drexler. I definitely think that he was one of the greatest players out there in the NBA. I love the way my man used to do his drives into the hole, and the way he would pass the ball. It was crazy. Not to mention he was a great shooter for that. So, you know, I understand that, but, you know, in my opinion, you still got to win the championship, you know, and that's why I couldn't. I was thinking about that when I was asked about it before, and I was thinking about that, and I was just like, man, I wonder. I thought about Clyde Drexler, but in my opinion, he just didn't get over the hump. He didn't take the prom date home, the way I say it, you know. So. That's why I have to give it to Pippen because he did it six. He did it six times, six different
exactly,
times.
Yep.
Totally different teams. You know what I mean? Every, you know, the team was changed up dramatically from the first two times to the third time. You know, the third and fourth and the fourth and sixth time. You know, it was like a totally different starting cast on that team. You know, and he still was competitive. You know, and you could think about if you want to compare folks to Clyde Drexler, you could think about Patrick Ewing also. You know, unfortunately, he doesn't have a ring either to show for.
That's a really
you know what I mean?
Good. That's a really good one. I didn't even think about him, but yeah. That's a
very good choice too. That's true. Ewing was really, really good at the big man. Really, really good, and he doesn't have a ring.
One of the best athletes.
He deserved one.
Exactly.
But who? He couldn't get past the Bulls. And when he
did, the one time he got
past,
right? That's right.
You know, I used to feel sorry for them, being a Bulls fan, but Then again, I don't. But yeah,
exactly, exactly. No, and they had that rivalry between those two teams, and it was a beautiful rivalry. When the Knicks played the Bulls, you knew something was going to happen.
Exactly.
You knew there was going to be Charles Oakley on that court. Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley, John Starks, and Patrick Ewing. Stop it! You mean to tell me they couldn't get a ring? And that's what blew my mind.
Yep.
You know. They're the only team that had the Bulls number consistently until
they
the playoff time.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It goes back to my.
I just feel like they had another offensive player. They could have maybe beat the Bulls one of those years. I feel like maybe.
No, you know what the factor was. It goes back to my statement. Scottie Pippen, he was that factor.
Hmm.
That was the factor that stopped him. They didn't need another player. Scottie Pippen was
Jordan
that good.
Dropping.
Yes. Yes.
But Jordan dropping them points in the garden like that, come on.
Hey, Scottie Pippen was that difference. The Knicks needed Scottie Pippen. If Scottie Pippen was on the Knicks, we would be saying the same thing about the Knicks, because I think the Knicks would have went back to back to back. And the Bulls would have been like, oh, they almost got there. Yes, that's how good they were. Yes.
The Rockets, the Suns, and Lakers.
And the Utah Jazz, and yes. Yes. And the Lakers and Magic Johnson. Yes. Oh, they were that good, man. They were that good. Pat Riley's Knicks was absolutely awesome.
They were
nothing to sweat about. They were generally a number two seed consistently. they found their way to win games. And it was like good old New York style street ball. I'm gonna brawl on this court if I don't win. That's how they played. If Pippen was on that team, I think he would have been that X factor to get him over that hump. You want an offensive player? There you go. Pippen can shoot. He can dunk. He can cross you up and post up.
I think they get to the finals. I don't think they three-peat like all as many years as they did with Jordan.
I
don't
say
Jordan.
Six-peat, but I think they could have gone back to that. They could have gotten two. Definitely. At least two. During that era, if Pippen was on that team.
Oh, yeah, that's very valid.
At least two.
Two?
Yeah.
They could have
gotten two.
Yeah. They could have gotten
Jordan?
Two.
You think so? So why
if Pippen was on that team, yeah.
Why couldn't. You said
if Pippen was on that team.
On the Knicks?
Yes, if Pippen was on the Knicks, they could have gotten two, at least. That's how good the Knicks were. And the Bulls would have been searching for a guy like Pippen. And that's why I'm saying that. That's the X factor right there.
You might got a little.
Anybody disagrees? My show's on 8:30 Friday night.
I want to say that you're right about that, because you know I'm thinking about this. You're saying, you know, what you're saying, you putting Pippen on that already defensive team of the Knicks, and this is the Knicks team you're talking about with Oakley, Starks, correct?
Yes. Ewing, Mason.
I agree.
Yep.
Anthony Mason, rest in peace.
Thank you.
I think I have to agree with that. I think they would knock them down. Who are they coming up against in the Western Conference? I don't see them beating that Houston team.
Oh, they would have beaten them. They would have worn them out. Yes, they would have worn
them
out.
It would have gone
seven. Yeah.
Against the Rockets, I don't. That Rockets team was just so deep, and they had shooters everywhere. Like they was the Warriors before the Warriors were Warriors.
Oh yeah.
Like you know, and they were tough. They were tough. They had an actual inside. The Warriors, they really don't have an inside effect. You know, you talk about
without as many shooters. The Bulls did it without as many shooters. The Bulls did it without as many shooters.
They did, but they
and
had.
And they
were
defensive minded, so. So picture someone with better defense, more shooters, going against those same teams. I put my money on the Knicks any day. With Pippen on them,
my money's
on the Knicks.
I don't see them. He can't guard. He can't guard Ellie shooting a three or shooting a three. Sam Cassell shooting a three. I forgot the other guy's name. I see his head. He's on the TV all the time. Kenny Smith shooting at three. You know, and then you got the Dream. Like, Patrick Ewing couldn't even really check the Dream anyway.
Yeah, people forget how good of a passer the Dream was, like, towards his later years. People forget he was a really good passer. So you could get those guys maybe 3, 4, or 5 extra shots, you know, during
the
championship year.
Ewing all the time. Oh, definitely. You're right about that. His past, even when he went to Toronto in his later years of his career, he was still a great passer. I always said he would have been good in Phil Jackson's triangle offense because the triangle offense, you need a big man who could pass very well. And that's why the Knicks now can't run it very well. Huh?
He would have been way better than Shaq. He would have been way better than Shaq.
Oh, yeah.
I think he would
That's
been.
What I said. I would love to see him in Phil Jackson's triangle offense, you know, because he's a great passing big man. We don't have that in today's NBA, for real. You know, the last one that I saw that was decent, I liked the Joakim Noah, but
yeah,
that's Joakim about
Noah.
It. You know, but now he's fell off the wayside, you know, due to injuries. But that's another topic, Mr. Cook, for another day. We're going to go ahead and switch a little bit of gears here. I think we beat that as a dead horse. And we're going to talk about some stuff that's, you know, that's news. And that topic was brought to y'all by Kim Dunning. And that's great because Kim, she's starting to follow basketball. I'm trying to get her into that. And so I told her she could get a good topic. I'll have it on the show. So, Kim, I know you're listening because you already told me. Thank you so much for giving us
that
topic.
Shout out to Kim. That was a great year. It's a great topic.
Oh, yeah. Now, the next one, this is just, we just want to talk about some current event sports, you know, like I always do. I like to keep it current, too. So, right now, my thing is this, all right? Do y'all believe Melo deserves to replace Kevin Love as an all-star? If not, then who? I want to know.
Gotta think about this. Off the
I
top
want my
of
man
my
from
head,
the Sixers on there.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, no. But I gotta see like who else is in the East that was, you know, maybe, you know, pushing for that last spot because, you know, I would say Embiid, but Embiid keeps getting hurt. I don't think he can even play sadly right now. I'm a Sixers fan. So, yeah, I would definitely pick Embiid over Melo, but, you know, Embiid's hurt. So, I don't really know who I don't know who I would put for that last spot as of right now.
If I had no choice, I would take Melo, but honestly, I'm just not feeling Melo right now. I don't think he is as defensive-minded as I would like for him to be. He has the power and a talent to be that way, but he just hasn't done it. And that bothers me a lot. But I think my man from the Sixers, I keep getting his name. There's a dude on the Sixers. Yes. I will find a way to get him on there because he would give you a good show, hands down.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And see, with the All-Star game, I think it's all about putting on a really great show. You know, and he would definitely do it. I've seen Melo in other All-Star games. I'm looking impressed. Honestly. You know, I'm just being real. I wasn't impressed. Don't think he was all that great.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He's been there, you know, his whole career, I think, from his rookie year to this year. So, yeah, last few years, he hasn't been as, you know, entertaining as he was before. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think this. I just believe this. He don't do it for me. I just think that he just in it for the money. You know, he rubbed me the wrong way this summer with the Olympics when he said winning the Olympic gold is better than winning an NBA championship. And my thing was this. I would feel bad if I was his teammate. That's like a slap in the face. Because we play every season to what's the ultimate goal? What's the reason why you're playing the game? To win a championship. You don't care about winning a championship, but you want to win something that you're going to get every 4 years that everybody can't get. Yeah, it's something special to represent your country, but still, what you play for every year for the past 13 seasons, Melo? NBA championship. Just because you can't get an NBA championship doesn't mean that it weighs less anything else. So, no, I don't think he deserves to be an all-star this season. This season. I honestly, I would have went with Whiteside, Hassan Whiteside down there in Miami.
Oh, I forgot about him. That's another great choice, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I totally agree.
Yeah, I thought he deserved it. You know, he plays great defense. You know, he's trying to bring the big man, the traditional big man back, but he needs to get a back to the basket game for his defense and blocking and rebound. You can't deny. But Melo as an all-star, they did the right by leaving him off from the with the voting, from the fan voting, and with the coaches, you know, picking the results. They did the right thing.
I agree with that. Not to mention, I think his home lifestyle is also affecting his thinking too. And you know, if honestly, if he wanted to be a part of a better team, he actually showed the time that he actually had heart was when he was on the Denver Nuggets, honestly. And him leaving Colorado, I think that was one of his worst decisions in his career. I think New York is too big of a town for him. I understand his wife Lala does not want to leave New York, but you know, he should put up a better fight. I'm like, baby, this is, you know, this is how I make my money here. And you're gonna have to just do some films out here in Colorado and or California and be all right with it. You know what I mean? Honestly. In the long run, he's still making more than Lala. You see what I'm saying? Lala just got to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you know, I had to put some of that blame on her. I know folks aren't going to like me. Once again, Friday night, 8:30. If you don't like what I'm saying. I had to put that blame on her, too. You know? And that definitely had an effect on his game. Then he came to New York. His game suffered. He's not used to a New York type of scrutiny. And in New York, you have like 5 different sports shows that's syndicated on FM and AM radio where you have over like 20 million people listening to you simultaneously. And they're all saying, what happened to Melo? I thought he was supposed to be this guy, you know? And the minute you got folks talking to you like that, it gets into your head.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about ESPN and Fox Sports. Those are the ones that's really affecting him. It's the local radio station. He is listening to them consistently. And he knows that he made a mistake.
He has made a mistake. He shouldn't have never left Denver, but he shouldn't have never re-signed with the Knicks. You know,
he had a chance to go to
he should have went somewhere else.
Chicago, actually. He had a chance to go to Chicago.
You're right. That's before all the roles and stuff. I didn't want him in Chicago. Because I knew I had this feeling that this is the Melo that was going to happen here, you know. And then our Bulls front office is garbage, and they would have just put garbage people on the court like we have now. You know, we got Butler and a washed up Wade and a terrible Rondo. You know, we're garbage. Gar Foreman and Paxton need to go, but that's another topic for another day. But he did
have a
chance.
How is Wade still playing with
those
knees? That's what I want to know. How is Wade still playing with those knees? Because he needs crutches 24/7. If I'm the owner of Chicago, I don't understand how you would sign Wade. I just don't understand.
I don't know, man.
Should have retired and bowed out gracefully. Honestly.
Yeah, that's how
they
said they wanted more 3-point shooting, but then they get Wade, who's a horrible three. That seemed like politics.
He's a horrible 3-point shooter, and he's a slasher. Yeah, it is. You know, he's a hometown boy, so they left. We got one guy. We traded one guy with bad knees for another guy who has even worse knees. You know, he don't have no meniscus, man. So he can't play all the time. He's got bone on bone. You know, they make up dumb excuses like tonight he's out because he's sick, quote unquote. So you're not. Your knees hurt, man. You know, he got knees like a 90-year-old grandma. I'm just saying.
How can you call him a thrasher? He can't thrash. That's the problem. Thrasher.
Thrasher. He could. I didn't say Flash. I said Flash. S-L-A-S-H-E-R.
Oh, Flasher. Oh.
Flasher.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
He goes to the rack. You know, he takes the ball to the rack.
Yeah.
That's been his game, you know, all the time. Now his game is, oh, he can go Flash halfway. He can pump fake and try to get you off your feet and get defiled. That's his game now because
yeah.
he ain't got no knees.
No, yes.
The way he is one of my all-time favorite players. His knees are sharp.
Yeah. Well, he plays with heart.
I will say that.
He's one of the guys that plays with heart. No, he can't.
He does. He wants to still win. His mind can, but his knees are not there anymore.
They can't do it.
He's walking around like Phil Jackson.
Stop it. Tell him to sit.
My mind's telling me yes, but my body's telling me no.
No. I got no tendon in my kneecap.
Yeah, man.
I stop. All right.
Oh, man.
That's just what it is, man. But, hey. But let's going back on Melo. All right, so let's say both of y'all say, you know, we all agree that he had a chance to join that Bulls team. All right, so Thibs was still there. They had Rose, Noah, Gibson, Butler on that team, and they add Melo. So that would have had Paul Gasol because they wouldn't have any more money to get Paul Gasol. So they would have had that team. Now, do you think, even though Thibs was having those dudes playing, I mean, awesome ball without Rose and knowing them because they was out hurt a lot. Do you see him be able to coach Melo and getting them over that last hump to get past the Cavs? I mean, I'm sorry, the Heat.
Honestly, yeah.
No.
At the time, yeah. I think he could have.
You remember the Bulls around him, they went, you know what I'm saying, to the Eastern Conference Finals and they lost to the Heat, you know, what was it, 4-1? You remember?
Yeah, I remember that year.
Yeah, you know, they won 60-something games. So, what I'm, you know, I don't know, guys. And you know, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out here. Y'all can chew me up. Melo is a ball hog, and he wouldn't have never passed the ball. It wouldn't have worked. And he doesn't play defense. Thibs is on defense. That's why he got rid of Kyle Korver. People don't remember Kyle Korver was on the Bulls team. Because he couldn't play defense.
Korver,
he was a liability.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. It will not. It can't. If you don't want to play defense, look, NFL, the NBA is very, very simple. You know, if you're a good shooter, great. But the minute you throw up that ball, you get back on defense. Melo does not do that.
That's true.
That's not his style.
Exactly.
Never been his style.
Yep.
And if I am a defensive-minded team that knows how to play defense, the minute I have the ball and I know that Melo doesn't want to play defense, just who I'm going toward. I am going to make Melo play defense on me because I know he can't.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing. He does not know how to play good defense. He can play high defense,
uh-huh.
you know, but he's not a good defensive person. Never has been.
Uh-huh.
Post that boy up. Post that skinny boy up. And I promise you, he's going to flop on the ground saying, oh, I was pushed. No, you weren't. Your feet were moving. That's a foul on you, bro. Plain and simple. I would do that 24/7. I'll put any man, even my garbage man, I'll tell him post up Melo 24/7. That's just that. If I'm a coach of the opposite team of Melo, that's my game plan the whole game. I'm gonna wear that boy out. Plain and simple. That is all I'm gonna do. He is garbage. You can't coach him. He needs to retire and do, you know, power with Lala. That's what he needs to do at this point in his life.
Oh man, the Melo killing is funny. I like it. I like it though. Only reason why I said it would work is I think he'd respect Tibbs because Tibbs is a well-known coach. And honestly, I don't think he would need to play too much defense at the time there because remember, Noah was an elite defensive player. Taj, you know, was pretty elite. I think they had I forgot who the small forward was at the time, but they had, you know, Jimmy Butler.
That was Jimmy Butler.
So you had some pretty elite defensive talent, so he didn't have to play as much, but the only way it would really work is if you respected Tibbs, which, you know, that would have remained to be seen.
And, you know, he was basically the defensive coordinator when, you know, let's rewind it back. When they had the big three in Boston, he was on the bench as an assistant coach up there with them in Boston, Thibodeau. And he was basically, that's how come they were so good defensively. He was basically their defensive coordinator up there. And that's how he got the job in Chicago, you know, because he was highly sought after. I just don't know. I don't know if it would have worked out. If they would have got over that hump, I don't think they would have had enough. They would have had to find some type of way to get the front office to muster up some money to get some more help out there. But if you want Mel on your team, just prepare to be mediocre. That's just
that's true.
Yeah. I'm quoting you, Tay. I'm quoting you right there.
Give up half
of it. All right, so we can go ahead and switch over. All right, so the next one, we will keep it NBA here, and it's, you know, the current right now in the NBA is everybody's on the Wizards. The Wizards. Yeah, they hot right now. They playing good. You know, John Wall is balling. Otto Porter came out of nowhere. Y'all got a lot of background noise. I can't hear. But I just want to know for y'all, are the Wizards for real?
I'll see the Cavs in the finals. I'm sorry, but yeah, I'll see the Cavs in the finals.
I would have to agree, man. I don't see anybody beating the Cavs, even with no Kevin Love or, you know, a 50 or 60% Kevin Love. They are – who's going to really beat them? You know, I asked this on Raymond Bennett's show earlier this week. I said, is there a team that can beat the Cavs right now with no Kevin Love? And no one can give me a straight answer, you know. I don't see anybody else out there. Now, will the Cavs win a championship? That's another story. But
yeah.
I don't see anybody who can really give it to the Cavs right now. I could be wrong, but you know, if now I know there's a lot on LeBron James' plate right here with no Kevin Love, and it's possible they could drop down to a 2 or 3 seed by the time the playoffs come. However, if that does happen, they just have to work a little bit harder to get to the finals, in my opinion. It won't be as simple-minded, but I think they still have enough talent and fight in them to get to the final. I just don't see who else can beat them. I really don't.
Yeah, and Washington isn't bad. They're actually, you know, they're clicking right now. They probably click, you know, they probably are finally trying to click all together, but I don't see anybody beating Cleveland in the playoffs. We've, you know, when LeBron James left teams, we've seen it be the, you know, the Bulls at first, then the Pacers, then the, you know, the Hawks a couple years back. None of those teams have been able to dethrone LeBron. I just don't see it. But you know, we could be wrong.
I agree. And one thing says too, you know, we there's always a saying in sports: regular season means nothing, and when playoff times come, you could have been the greatest team during the regular season. And you know, no matter what the genre of the sport is, when the playoff times come, you don't perform, it means absolutely nothing. You know, you have to finish the fight, you know, get the job done and win a championship. And right now, I just don't know if the Washington Wizards are that team, you know, or Toronto. You know, Toronto is another team that might be up there. I just don't – or the Celtics, too. I know the Celtics are playing really well right now. You know, there's a lot of teams that are playing very well right now that, yes, they have – there's talent enough to beat – Cleveland 1 or 2 games or push into a 7-game series, but are those the teams that can really beat Cleveland? And that's a big question mark.
And you know what? And that moves me to the next topic here, you know, that I had. You know, did the Toronto do enough to knock off the Cavs with the trade to get Ibaka?
That remains to be seen. Ibaka hasn't played too good in Orlando, but that could be a change of scenery situation. He could go back to his OKC days. So that remains to be seen, in my opinion.
I got to see a little bit more from Ibaka before I can really see what he's going to do right now. You know, nothing's guaranteed when you do a trade. You've seen that before, too, you know. And I had to see how much fight he has in him and how well he can mesh with the team. You know, a prime example is Dwight Howard's been traded all around. Even when we thought he was still good and he was getting traded, we thought, oh, man, this guy's going to bring the team up to a championship. Did he do it? No. You know, so I think he's not as intrusive as Dwight Howard, but I think that he definitely can make a difference. The question is, will he? That's my question. Will he be that different in this particular case?
Well, here's what I think. I think with DeRozan and all the other talent they have on their team, you know, I think he might just give them a little bit more toughness down there in the middle. If he can go back to being the guy before he started thinking he was a three-point shooter. Get down low, get back to the basket, get some blocks, rebounds, and score in the paint. Give them that paint presence down there with, you know, with Vasquez. Don't be a three-point shooter. That's not your game, man. I don't know who told him that he could shoot threes. I don't understand. Your big seven-foot self out there shooting threes. Get in the paint. Come on, man. I think if he did go back to that,
that's the problem with big guys nowadays,
though.
I totally agree with you. And that's the problem with the big men of today. They don't like getting in the paint. You know, and they won't post up. They won't get dirty. They don't want to rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why are you even playing basketball? You know, I grew up in Jersey, and I played street ball, and I was a big dude. So I knew my job as a big man, I better be in that paint. I better be scrapping with everybody else. I don't care if they're bigger than me or not. I have to scrap like a big man, and I got to post up 24/7. You just don't see that nowadays. I would love to find a coach who can teach the team to post up. I promise you,
you
find that, I think you'll find a team that will probably be in a they will beat the best of the best. If they find you, and make shots and still have your outside shooters. You know what I mean? I promise you, you'll find a team that's unstoppable. That's your super team,
right?
Coach like that.
There was the magic, you know, back in 08-09 when they went to the finals. They had Dwight Howard in the inside, and they just said, hey, everybody who's a wing player, shoot, 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 and that's how they went to the finals.
Yep.
Even what's going to get me is if Dwight Howard starts shooting threes, think he's a three-point shooter, then I will give up all hope on the NBA. Because he can't shoot, period. Now, if you start going out there, you're right. You know, and as soft as it has become, I'm starting to say screw basketball anyway. But, you know, I still think that, you know, that it will be, you know, jab. All right. Yeah, I grew up, like, with the street ball type, you know. I like that hardcore basketball, you know, not that little 65 game that we got today. I'm sorry. But we'll go ahead and we're gonna go ahead into our last topic of the night, and we're gonna keep it NBA. And so, I want to know who are y'all now. Tonight's the last night of NBA games, guys, and then we go into All Star Weekend. So I want to know, from y'all mouth. So the first half of the season is basically over. So who was your first half of the season MVPs for the NBA?
Ooh.
Yeah, I gotta think about this for a second. I'm gonna say James Harden.
I'm gonna have to go with Westbrook. I like the way Westbrook's playing, even though he's not winning the way I want him to. He's still playing with a lot of heart, man. I got to give it to him, man. That's my MVP, and I like the fight in him. He just needs to learn how to share the ball a little bit and put a little bit more oomph on his own teammates and let them do some of the work. You know, 3 minutes into the game, the man has looked like he just came out of a pool. He's sweating so hard. And you know, I like the work ethic, but you know, you got four of the players on the court too, bro. You know, go ahead and use them. You know, so but I think he's definitely. I think you know, I didn't think that the OKC was going to be as good as they were as they are now.
Oh, yeah,
I got to give
it's
to him.
Yeah. Yeah, Westbrook would have been my pick, but like just right now, Harden and they like Houston lost a couple key players over the recent years, but you know Harden's playing great right now. He has him at a number two seed and all, and yeah, that's why I had to pick with Harden. But yeah, Westbrook is a really you know would be another good choice. You know, people forget his teammates aren't playing great right now. Oladipo, I think, has been disappointing too. For Westbrook.
Okay. What I like, who I like, who I want, I gotta go with my man Harden. Harden has cut down on his turnovers, which you know, you had the ball in your hands all the time. You know, you're gonna have a lot more turnovers than the average person. But he's cut that down. He's getting the triple doubles. His assists went up. His points went up because Mike Anthony moved him to the point guard position. What I'm liking about him is that he's getting others involved. You know, Ryan Anderson is making a comeback. You know, he's healthy. Well, he was. He's injured right now, but he was healthier. He's getting back there, you know, with his three-point shooting, helping him out. You know, Trevor Ariza's coming back. They're playing good ball down there in Houston. They're winning games, and it's because of James Harden. You take James Harden off that team, they will be garbage. You know, you got Patrick Beverley coming back. He's playing good relief point guard ball for them. All I can say is I hope they go deep in the playoffs right now. Once upon a time in the season, they was only three games back of the Warriors. That says something.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know the Warriors don't play no defense. You know, that's their liability. And Houston is actually playing a little bit of defense. Not the best, but they're playing a little bit. But they're scoring the rock. They're still currently right behind the Spurs, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the Western Conference standings, they are going to the playoffs. Depends on their seeding if they can get to the Western Conference Finals. And I hope they can knock off the Warriors. I really do. Them or the Spurs.
Oh,
anybody else? I don't see them. I don't see it doing it.
Agreed.
Okay. Y'all agree, okay? So no rebuttal. So I guess we all come to a consensus mind that you know we agree on that. Okay, great. So hey, go ahead, Nessa. Tell everybody where they can reach you and your showtime and all that good jazz. Again, I know you said like 50,000 times tonight. But go ahead, tell them one more game before we let you go.
Everybody, check me out on Fridays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Race Nation. Number to call is 646-716-5245. And whatever you don't like what I said on today's show, debate me on my show. I don't run. I'm right here. So here you got. You got me right here. I'm never scared.
You better debate him. Get his show up. Debate him. You hear him now. Don't back down. Make him a believer in your word. All right, Dane. I know you ain't got no show, but go ahead and tell people where they can follow you at. You know, tweet you.
I'll let
you all that good stuff.
Yeah, I got Twitter. Haven't used it in a little while, but my Twitter is dhoop215, dhoop_215. You can add me on Facebook if you want, Damian Hooper. I love to talk sports. You can add me on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, and also, guys, you can also find these two guys in my group. Go ahead and open up your Facebook browser right now. Type in your search, Sports League, join that group, click join, and you can like the show page. And you can talk to them all you want. Tag them, debate them, and whatever you want. Tell Dame the Eagles are trash. And tell Russ that the Cowboys rock.
Well, you know what? The Eagles and Atlanta Falcons are both the same right now. All ringless, baby. All ringless. So,
ringless.
You know.
All you guys are the worst.
And I'm out here in Georgia. That's right, Falcons fans. Find me. Where you at now? You can't ride. Your wings have been clipped. Stop it. Stop talking about my Cowboys, son. We got five, son. I keep telling you guys. You don't know how to bring the prom date home, son. Stop it. I'm sorry, Tay. I had to do it. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was funny. I can't even. That was funny.
It's all good in neighborhood. All right, guys. Well, thank y'all so much for coming on the show debating. Y'all make sure y'all tune in next week. We got two more debaters that's going to come on the show and debate another great topic and just want to have some fun. So join us on www.blogtalk.com/radioAFS and holler at your girl Tay. Hit me up on Facebook. Y'all love talking trash to me on my Facebook. You know what? I enjoy it. All right, so holler at me. Everybody, y'all have a great night. All right?
All right.
You know what? Cheese. Listen to our circus music.
Take care.
All right.
I'm serious, dude. What do y'all think about this? Hey, baby. Give me the bubble gum in this motherfucker.